When I was in training to become a priest, when I was in seminary, one of the things that we had to do was spend a summer doing a program called CPE, which stands for Clinical Pastoral Experience. And this program basically had us be chaplains in a hospital for a summer. We would visit patients, visit with any of the staff or families that wanted us present. And we also spent some time meeting with, as chaplains all together, and discussing about how things were going. We revisit conversations that we had with different people and kind of discuss about how we could have done things better or what worked or what didn't work and all these different things. One of the big things that is discussed in CPE is something that's called the growing edge. And this term actually refers to how a wound heals. The whole wound does not heal all at once, but actually starts usually out at the outer edge and kind of works its way into the center, healing as it goes along. But that newest growth is often referred to as the growing edge of the healing of the wound. But that term can also refer to how it is that we are growing. And sometimes that includes having to grow from bad past experiences, having to heal our own wounds of the past, and being able to learn how to do better, how to move on from those past experiences. It's all about healing. Whether it is an actual physical wound healing, that growing edge, or whether it is about healing our old emotional wounds, our memories, different things that have happened. But we need to heal. We need to be able to grow from what has happened. Lately, in the news, we've been hearing a lot about things happening in Minneapolis, in the Twin Cities area, and even other cities around the country. A lot of healing needs to take place from all that has happened. Not only from the death of George Floyd, not only the healing that needs to take place from all the riots and looting and violence that has taken place in various locations, but I can't help but think that there is also healing that needs to take place just simply because of all that has come up as a result of the death of George Floyd. All the different protests, both peaceful and violent, all that has been discussed, all that has happened, I think is very, very symptomatic of something greater that has been going on that needs to be healed, that we need to be attentive to. Now, I do not feel myself an expert in this area enough to be able to say exactly, well, this is what went wrong and this is how we're going to fix it. I'm not saying any of that. But my point is, healing needs to take place. Something has happened, and we need to heal from that. I think we need to pray together that there is a healing. That people, that the violence, racism end, and that there be more unity among the people. That is also what is going on with this feast day today in the readings that we heard. In the gospel today, Jesus appears before his disciples saying, "Peace be with you." And then he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Jesus is talking about a type of healing that needs to take place. He's commissioning his disciples to be able to forgive sins. And forgiveness is about healing. Healing of whatever sins have been committed, whether against God, against other people, against ourselves, in some way, there needs to be healing. And by sending the Holy Spirit, it says, receive the Holy Spirit, he also breathes on them, a symbol of the Spirit coming upon the disciples. The Holy Spirit comes to heal, comes to save, comes to fix what is broken. Pentecost itself, the story of Pentecost, is itself all about healing. Healing of wounds, healing of what has happened in the past. If you study Scripture, if you take a look at commentaries on the story of Pentecost, which we heard in the first reading today, you'll find out that scholars have often looked at this as, and not just scholars, but theologians, saints, for centuries, have seen the story of Pentecost and so many people speaking in so many different languages as a reversal of what happened at the Tower of Babel. If you're not familiar with the story of the Tower of Babel, it takes place in the book of Genesis. Men of a certain city decide to build a tower that would reach the heavens to make themselves like God. At this time, all the people spoke one language. There was unity. They got along. They didn't have to resort to all sorts of violence. But they used this gift in the wrong way. They wanted to make themselves like God. They're not doing this to praise God. They're not doing this to get closer to God. They wanted to make themselves gods. They wanted to be able to show how good they were in building this great tower. It's all the pure ugliness of pride. And so God punishes them. And he confuses their language so that various people start speaking all these different languages. Then there is disunity. Then there is misunderstanding. Division. We still feel the effects of this today. When we look at so many different ways in which we have misunderstanding, differences in what things mean. But when we look at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples, who at the time are so scared of what will happen to them. They have locked themselves in a room. In fact, tradition tells us that it's the very same room that they were in at the Last Supper, just a little over a month earlier. The Holy Spirit comes upon them. They see these tongues of flame over each and every one of them, and they begin to speak, not just in their own languages, but in the languages of all the different people. They go out and they start telling everybody about this. And all these people from all over the world, all over the known world, are there. They hear the word spoken. In that instant, as the Holy Spirit is upon them, they are able to speak. They are able to understand. There is unity once more. There is no discord. There is no argument. But they begin to understand what it is that God wants. why God has sent the Holy Spirit upon the world. This is not just a one-time thing, brothers and sisters. This is something that continues to this day. The Holy Spirit coming upon the church. Bring us together. Whether we have all sorts of different languages, whether we have all sorts of different backgrounds, different countries, different races, the Holy Spirit brings us together into one faith with one God. Let us continue our prayers, brothers and sisters, that the Holy Spirit may come upon us and bring us to unity, bring us to that love that God wants for all of us.